It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The primary election is less than a month away, on June 24th. We're talking this week with the two Democratic candidates for Baltimore City State's Attorney, the city's top prosecutor. Yesterday, I spoke with incumbent State's Attorney Greg Bernstein, who was elected 4 years ago and is running for re-election. Joining me today is his challenger in the Democratic primary, Marilyn Mosby, who's a civil attorney and worked as a prosecutor in the State's Attorney's Office for 6 years. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Sheila.
Why are you running for State's Attorney?
I'm running for state's attorney for a number of reasons, and all you have to do is turn on your news and open up the newspaper and see what's happening and the violence plaguing our communities. When you see 12-year-old girls being robbed at gunpoint, or you see 16-month-olds who are killed, the youngest victims in Baltimore City, 5-time serial rapists who are breaking into people's homes, raping women by knife point, who time and time again keep getting off. So oftentimes we want to blame the police, but the police get these individuals off the street. It's up to the state's attorney's office to seal the deal and get the convictions. And that's simply not happening. I can tell you, as a wife, as a mother, as a resident of West Baltimore, I don't have to turn on the news and open up the newspaper to see the violence plaguing our communities. But also as a former prosecutor that's worked for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston, the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C., and the Suffolk County Homicide Unit, I started my career right here in Baltimore City. So I know and I understand at the end of the day, it's a small number of violent repeat offenders who are wreaking all the havoc in our communities and giving our city a bad name. And I know and I understand that that's where the focus should be. However, it's not.
The focus, because our listeners heard from Bernstein yesterday, say that his focus is on violent repeat offenders and that he is convicting more than has been true in the past. So what is, how is your view different than his?
Well, I think that my view is extremely different from his, because if you just look at the report, there was an independent review, which was actually espoused by the police department, in which we spent $285,000 on this independent review. And in the review, it indicated that the violent repeat offender program has lost its impetus, and that the state's attorney's office is claiming that the police department is responsible for maintaining that list. And guess what the state's attorney's office is claiming? That the police department is responsible for maintaining that list. So recognizing that there is a very small number of individuals, one of the things that I intend to do in the first 100 days of my administration is to sit down with the police department, develop a comprehensive process in which we are targeting these individuals. Clearly, that's not the case.
You would be in charge of more than 400 prosecutors and support staff. What management experience do you bring to a job like that?
Well, I bring a number of experience. I can tell you that I was in the state's attorney's office for over 6 years. I was the supervisor of the early resolution court, in which I trained newly sworn ASAs on courtroom decorum and docket management. So in addition to bringing 6 years of actual experience, having the jury trial experience, I have more experience than the current incumbent as a prosecutor in Baltimore City. I have more experience than his current deputies in that position. And I have experience in that I trained his current juvenile division chief. So I can tell you that from a management perspective, I think that what I do bring, in addition to having the management experience that I just explained, I also bring the actual trial experience and knowing what the issues are and how to get these individuals off the streets.
Would you reorganize the state's attorney's office if elected?
I would reorganize the state's attorney's office. I think that when you look at some of the things that have been imposed, the current incumbent is alleging that he has created this community prosecution method. And what I would tend to say is that it's an oxymoron because it's anything but community oriented. One of the things that the current administration did when he first came into office is he fired 11 community liaisons and cited budgetary constraints. He then rezoned the prosecutor's office so that there are now 3 assistant state's attorneys who represent all of the communities throughout Baltimore. Why is that important? Well, guess what? The criminal justice system relies on the community. So if you no longer have a presence and visibility throughout various communities throughout Baltimore, guess what ends up happening when you try to get the 5-time serial rapist off the streets? You can't get it done. And that's what we're seeing. That individual that I'm speaking of is one in which he's currently awaiting trial for the 5th time. He's gotten off 4 times in the past 3 years despite DNA evidence. And those are the types of individuals that we should be focusing on. And we're not. I can tell you that I took sexual assault survivors and child abuse survivors to Annapolis. One of the ways in which he was getting off time and time again is that he would get up there, and despite the victims who had the courage and audacity to testify against this man who violated them in every sense of the word, again, he was breaking into their homes, raping them by knife point, and leaving his DNA. One of the things that he would do was, after they testified and said, this is the man that violated me, he would get up there and say, yeah, my DNA evidence is there, but that's because they consented to having intercourse with me. Again, this man is currently awaiting trial for the fifth time. And rather than just allow him to continue to wreak havoc in our communities, the first time he got off, it took him just 60 days before he broke into three other homes and raped three other women. I took sexual assault survivors and child abuse survivors to Annapolis to try to reform the Maryland laws and to change them. When you look at the federal statutes, they recognize that these individuals, when we're talking about child molestation and sexual assault, these individuals usually have a pattern of predatory behavior. And so their prior convictions and criminal pasts are admissible in front of a jury.
State's Attorney Bernstein also testified for that legislation, as in support of that legislation. So what's the difference between the two of you on that issue of how these cases should be prosecuted?
Well, I do need to note that that call for the change in legislation came by myself. I did that in April. And although Mr. Bernstein attempted to testify for legislation that was similar to what I was calling to do, his legislation was completely different than mine. If you look at the legislation in which I testified for, this is exactly in line with the federal statutes. The legislation in which he was testifying to imposed a number of additional hurdles for victims that was not as victim friendly, I would say. So yeah, he did attempt to introduce legislation 2 weeks before I did, but I called on him to do so in April.
This is Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Democratic candidate for Baltimore City State's Attorney, Marilyn Mosby. As I understand it, neither of those bills passed.
No, they did not, but that's something.
How do you make change happen?
Well, that's something that you have to work for. The same way that, you know, you lobby the city and the state and legislators to get $11 million to move from the Mitchell Courthouse to the SunTrust building, it's the same way that you have to lobby the city and the state to change laws that are going to affect our communities. And, you know, that's one of the things that I intend to do when I'm state's attorney, and that's one of the things that I'm going to do to fight for the victims of crime.
I want to ask you about some of these high-profile cases when individuals died in police custody, specifically the Anthony Anderson's death in 2012, Tyrone West in last year. In both of these cases, Greg Bernstein's office decided not to prosecute the officers involved. How would you have handled these cases?
And I think that, you know, without having the same sort of information that Mr. Bernstein has at his disposal, I would not tell you one way or another if I would not prosecute. I think that's not the issue. I think the issue was not his decision not to prosecute those individuals. I think the issue in the case, in both of those instances, was his lack of transparency. One of the things that he promised to do was, when he ran 4 years ago against the former incumbent, was to be more transparent and accessible to victims. I can tell you that in the Tyrone West case, our mayor had to actually write a letter to the current administration asking him to release the autopsy report because they had not known how their loved one was killed for 9 months. So the problem was not that he came back and decided not to prosecute the police officers. The problem in each of those instances was that there was a lack of transparency that I can tell you that I will not have in my administration. I will be as transparent as possible. And I can tell you one of the things that I'm pushing is to allow for victims to have case dispositions connected with Open Baltimore so that they're easily searchable and readily accessible.
Your website promises, quote, the pursuit of justice over convictions.
That's correct.
Explain what you mean by that and how that would show up.
Well, what I can tell you is that the duty of a prosecutor, this is why I became a prosecutor in the first place, is your job is to seek justice, not just convictions. And I will give you an example. You know, the current incumbent is citing his statistics, which, you know, just recently, 3 months ago, he was citing that these statistics were not error-free. So I'm not sure how he's touting these statistics. But in any event, when you're seeking convictions, as opposed to justice, there becomes a perception of injustice. And that does nothing for juries. That does nothing for victims. I'll give you an example. The Capone Chase was an individual, known BGF member, who last summer was apprehended.
BGF,
Black Guerrilla Family. They were the gang that was associated with all of the violence last summer. Mm-hmm. This was a known BGF member. This is an individual who was charged with armed robbery and assault. And I can tell you that, you know, in the pursuit to get a conviction, the state's attorney's office reduced his charges from armed robbery and assault. They reduced it to second-degree misdemeanor because they were having victim witness issues. Well, if you are not focusing on victim witness services, expect to have victim witness issues. In any event, 2 days later, after they reduced the charges, this individual lures somebody onto a playground in broad daylight and shoots him twice in the head in front of his pregnant girlfriend. This is a matter of life and death. So sometimes it's a hard decision as to whether you're going to pursue that the armed robbery and first degree assault as opposed to getting a conviction for second degree misdemeanor. But I can tell you that my passion, my pursuit will always be justice over convictions.
We're almost out of time, so this is a big question, and it's not really fair to ask you with just 30 seconds to answer it. But how would you build trust in the community, which you say is so crucial, if in a way that Greg Bernstein hasn't?
Well, in addition to the liaisons that he's fired and now no longer have a presence in the community, I'm going to engage the community. So there are several things that I intend to do. First and foremost, focus on victim witness services. And it's going to be, or I have a rapid, three focuses, rapid response victim to better protect our victims and witnesses. I'm going to lobby the city and the state for better protection in the home of witness intimidation where the stop snitching mentality began. And I'm going to be more visible and present in various communities that we rely upon.
I appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marilyn Mosby, she's challenging incumbent city state's attorney Greg Bernstein in the June 24th Democratic primary. In the fall election, the winner of the primary will face defense attorney Russell Neverden. Mosby and Bernstein have scheduled two debates in June. We have information about them and more about the candidates on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Just ahead, Tom Hall talks with a Cockeysville native who's headed to space this afternoon. Stay with us on 88.1.